everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Red Dawn. Wait, hold on. Red Dawn's the name of this episode?
Yeah.
Man, I've forgotten. I just watched this whole episode and I don't... I think I don't particularly know what... I mean, I guess it's like a beginning of someone and there's... Either way, I'm joined by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. How's it going, gang?
Hello.
It's going.
Yeah, I forgot that was the name until you just said it as well. I guess, like, it's maybe because... spoiler alert, I guess. The sun comes up during this episode. Is that anything?
Right. And there's blood.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, so Red Dawn. And also Red Dawn's an 80s movie. So, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, is this anything? You know how it goes, so.
All signs point to yes.
What a show.
Cool. So, this episode does a bunch of stuff you don't care about and then is very confusing and ends in an unsatisfying fashion. It is one of those episodes where, like, you go, oh, this is the last episode, huh? And then you're like, oh, it's not. Why? And that's kind of how I feel about it, is I was like, wait, this is only episode, like, 5, right? I didn't black out and, like, forget 4 episodes? No, it is. It is. so, yeah. Well, regrettably, the first thing we're starting with is, hey, you know, Donna, I think, was the false Rita's name?
Yeah.
False Donna. Oh, Dee Dee.
Yeah, Donna, the brain genius who let Mr. Jingles out and was like, I'm going to let you kill people and then, like, check out what that's about.
Yeah,
so
I
we're
love
getting
it when
some backstory
that.
From her. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there's some... what was the music that was on during this? I, like, legitimately don't remember.
Love Don't Live Here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
They love having, like, diegetic music in this... season where they're like it's the 80s and it's real and it's like in the scene, the characters listening to it, that's why it's here. And it's like, okay, well, that's like not, that doesn't make me want more of it. Like, it would be cool if you could maybe make these things match up with like the things that are going on, perhaps.
Or, like, at least not, like, a really super, like, a superficial way. Like, I can't forgive White Wedding just because they're at a wedding. And it's, like, that's the only thing. Yeah. Which, like, get the fuck out of here. But, you know.
It says wedding, Slow Beef. It's the same thing. There's no way that song isn't about, like, exactly what's happening in the scene. There's no way.
Also, they say it's a white wedding, but it's actually quite red, as I think you'll find, because there's blood everywhere. That's called irony, Slow Beef.
Mm.
Look it up.
Really ahead of their time here at American Horror Story, the writer's room.
So we're starting with a flashback of Donna, or I'm just going to call her Rita because the other one's dead. So this is Rita now. This is functionally
Rita.
That's true.
She is dead. Yeah. We can just call her Rita.
Yeah, fuck the other one. Congratulations, you've been promoted to Big Rita. So Rita is stalking someone. He's just like following, or she's following someone around, and he's bringing home like a woman of some variety, right? So she's stalking him. She breaks in just by like pushing a credit card through a lock, which, like, I wonder how many people actually know how that works and how many locks it works on. Not relevant. She walks in and sees 2 wine glasses on the table. So clearly there's been some infidelity happening. So then she starts banging on the door, which this is what I'm like. Yeah, there's a lot on this next. Okay, you know what? We should just talk about what happens and then we'll talk about how it's super implausible. So... she bangs on the door and is like, hey, Dad, it's me, Dee Dee. Let me in. Let me in. And she does go in and she finds out that it was not actually her dad cheating on her mom. It was her dad is a serial killer who loves to kidnap ladies, drug them, and then kill them. The lady is like super torn up on the ball or up on the bed. And yeah, sorry, I was reading ahead. Yeah, there's a wall full of photos, which is already, like, what, like, do you bring them out before you kill the person and be like, check it out, that's gonna be you?
Like, yeah, I had that thought. I was like, clearly this is like a second apartment he has or something so that he can do this, but like, so you got her inside the apartment and then like you're like, let's take this to the bedroom, baby girl, and then you got in the bedroom and was like, don't mind that wall. Like, don't worry about it. Just don't look too closely at it. I'm not really sure why I keep these on the wall anyway. I've never heard of maintenance coming into an apartment, I guess. Maintenance has never historically gone into an apartment ever.
Well, you have, like, the half-finished glass of wine, right? Which, like, because I would assume the assumption was, like, all right, we romance him, take him to the bedroom, which I guess can't be. But they must be drugged, you'd think. But then, like, she's, like, kind of, like, shackled to the bed, like, or, like, there's, like, some kind of handcuff thing, I forget, you know? But, like, so then why would you need to do that, though, if they're, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you, so, like, I don't understand how this whole thing is supposed to work. Maybe he has that photograph thing just covered up, so, like, afterwards he can just, like, yeah, like, he just, like, opens a curtain or moves, like, a big comical, like, you know, thing on wheels aside, and then just,
like,
oh, yeah.
This always happens. I should stop taking dates off of Tinder. This is how they end every time.
Check this shit out. Oh, man.
Not again. Oh, my God. Yeah, the handcuffs that the lady is tied to the bed in, they're sex handcuffs. Like, just so we're clear, they're sex handcuffs. Mm. And also, the props department didn't even try to make sure they looked like they fit on the lady, because, like, there's about a whole inch clearance on any side of her wrist. She's, like, making an active effort to keep her hands up in the shackles above her head because they fit so poorly. But if they're sex handcuffs, which leads me to believe this was, like, a Gerald's Game situation where, like,
she was like,
yeah, let's do sexy time. And then he was like, aha, and then pulled down the curtain on his cool, like, collage and was like, I'm actually a serial killer. And my thing is that I just cut your stomach open and then leave. That's like, that's my move.
I know. Yeah. Just like, all right, you're eviscerated. Time for a break.
He got hungry.
Like, they could have made anything for his, like, big move, right? Like, they could have had, like, they had somebody who was super gluing cocks into vaginas or whatever, and they couldn't even, like, swing anything for this guy. Like, no, I'm just like, I don't know, man. I just kind of, like, pull their guts out and, like, throw them wherever. it's my passion.
Plus, like, you know, it's funny because then if you think about the timing, right? So it's like he walks in with it, his daughter comes in, breaks into the place. Like, how long is she waiting and doing all of this, right? Because then it's like, you know, if you think about the parallel timing of it, he's got to act quick, meaning he's got to give serve her a drink, bring her in, they're hooking up, there's some manacles, kills her, unveils, maybe it was like a game show thing, like Jeopardy, but with the photographs, where it's like, you know, for 400, what is this one's dead too, yep, you know, or whatever. And then she comes in, and while he's like, I don't know, like taking a shit or having a smoke break or something afterwards, you know, I don't know.
Because that's the whole thing, too, is he does sell it as, like, sorry, I just really like killing. Like, he's like, sorry, I just really love what I do. Which to me means he would spend a really long time killing somebody or, as we're about to discover, not killing somebody.
That's so frustrating. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So before we move on from this, going back to, like, the timing of this. So, like, the flashback opened with, like, her looking at the car and watching her, like, her dad walk the lady upstairs. And then she pretty promptly gets out of the car and follows them. And, like, generously 2 to 3 minutes later, she breaks into the apartment. First of all, how did she know which apartment it was? Second of all, she, like, just breaks in, and then she, like, gets in there, and there's already wine glasses, which either means that he already had that shit ready to go, or, like, he's, like, we got, like, tapping his watch, like, we gotta get a move on, I'm on a tight schedule. And then she's like, oh, you son of a bitch. And immediately, loud-ass music starts playing from her dad's bedroom. The door is locked, by the way. Why would he lock the door? Who's that for? Like, he's not in there. So, like,
he already locked the front door.
Yeah.
And he's not in there. I'll remind you, he's not in there. So A, how did he lock that door? And B, like, where is he in the apartment? Because it's like an apartment. So like he's somewhere that isn't in the bedroom and has locked the door from the inside? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And then she gets in there and she eventually just breaks in to the door. Also, I have a question. So she hears him turn on the music. I'm now having like a Jimmy Neutron brain last moment. She hears him turn on the music from behind the locked door. She eventually gets frustrated and breaks in to the room. Her dad's not in there. And in a few minutes, he's going to walk into the room from outside of the bedroom. So when, without him, without, by the way, like not him like knowing she's in there. He like comes into the door. By the way, he comes into the door and is like, huh, weird. I thought, he doesn't say anything about like, oops, thought I locked this. He's like, huh, the door's open now. That's weird. Anyway, like how did he teleport out of the bedroom?
I feel like
I assumed it was like a bathroom attached to the room. That's about like that's the only solution I have, in which case he would have been just like taking a shit with the, well, first of all, I don't know, man, maybe it's just me. I think if I just murdered somebody in a bedroom and I was using the toilet in the restroom next to it and the door between everywhere else and that room was locked, I'd just shit door open. I'll be real with you. I'd just keep that door open. Fuck them. Yeah.
This is, you know, those locked door mysteries? It's like that, but the more we solve, the more we realize it's actually impossible. Like, it doesn't work. Like, the more clues you get.
Why did he turn on the music? Because, like, the implication is that, like, she's yelling for him, but he can't hear her because of the music. Oh, no, he's got ear pods in. But, like, A, why did he turn the music on? Because it's not like it's covering screams, because it's not loud enough to cover screams, and that lady didn't make any noise. So it's not to cover the screaming, because there wasn't any. So was he just, like, vibing? Is he in, like, his... He had 25 seconds to kill this lady, and now he's just buzzing. He's, like, having a good time. So he's turning on the music and taking a shit? Like, is that what's going on?
I believe that's the implication and or idea, yes, somehow.
I swear he comes in from outside the apartment or the bedroom.
I'm not gonna lie to you and even pretend I know where he came from. It could have been, honestly, he could have descended from the ceiling off screen and I'd be like, yeah, sure.
It's like someone else was on set directing that day, but like was filling in, was like a substitute teacher, and like they got like three different versions of what the scene was supposed to be, and all three of them somehow made it in. One where like the lady's not dead yet and she hears him kill her. One where he's taking a shit in the bathroom and never leaves that room. And one where she, like, walks in and he's in there actively killing somebody. And I feel like all of them... Because he walks into the room, like, he's really just not, like... Not that his heart's not in it, but his mind's not in it. He's, like, kind of, like, daydreaming. He's got the bleach in his hand. He's, like, having a good time. He's got a smile on his face. And then he drops the bleach and is like, what the? My daughter's here. And I'm like, again, the door you locked, quote unquote, is open. That didn't... I mean, like, granted, I'm super ADHD, parentheses real. So, like, I'm not above saying that maybe I wouldn't do something like that because I frequently forget stuff I did 13 seconds ago. Like, I'm not gonna say it's impossible, but like, you'd think if you just serial killed someone, that'd be pretty high on your list of things that you would want to remember.
It stands out, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, huh, weird.
Especially if you like it.
Yeah.
Right.
He loves it. He doesn't just it. He loves it.
Right. Yeah. No, he takes time out of his day for it and everything, you know? Absolutely. But...
Which, the
sloppy.
Way we know this, by the way, in case anyone's curious, is because when Donna is confronted by her dad, because he walks in the room and is like, what the heck? My daughter's here. She's not supposed to be here. What the? The first thing she says is, Mom said that you were coming home late at night, so I figured I would follow you around and see what you were getting up to. And I'm like, in a second, he's going to tell us that he's been doing this for, like, his whole life. And so why now is he, like, doing it at night, question mark? Because, like, it's very clearly presented as, oh, he's doing this new thing, and it's very suspicious, which is why we think you're cheating on, like, your wife. But he makes it like really, really clear. He's been doing this for like forever, like since childhood, maybe. Like he's been doing it forever.
She just straight up asks him. Yeah, she's just like, "How long?" And he says, "My whole life. Like I have never not been killing people," which is kind of a crazy thing to say. Like I feel like again, this is a case of if I was a serial killer, and I'm not, ladies. I would remember when I first killed somebody, even if it was like age 13, right? Like I would be like, when? I'd be like, when I was 13. Like there, I don't feel like you would just be like, I don't know, man, I've been doing that shit forever. Like, no, you would remember the first time, I feel like.
Actually, this is why I started keeping the photographs. I kept forgetting about all the killing I do, and you know.
Yeah, I thought I did my first kill like 7 times, was nervous every time. Now I got my photo wall, confident as hell. That's why you got in.
I got it from my friend Richard Ramirez. You know, but.
Also, like, I paused it just for my own, like, peace of mind to look at the photo wall when it, like, scanned over it. I'm like, are any of these people relevant to the thing? And the answer's no. They appear to be row by row. Each row is a specific person. Men and women. So equality win, I guess.
Yay.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Serial killer's a bisexual.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Nice. Yeah. Makes sense. And I'm now thinking, I'm like, okay, well, he's been doing this his whole life. Surely there's like 7 rows. Surely there's more than 7 victims. If he's been either that, or he's got like a really slow, like repeat rate, which means that he sped up a lot in the last couple weeks, if it's been frequent enough to warrant them checking to see if he's cheating on his wife. How do you think he picks who goes on the wall? Do you have to be like really special to go on the wall? I'd be pretty pissed if I found out I didn't make it on the wall after getting serial killed, TBH.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah, I'd be like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah, sorry, you died in a totally unremarkable way.
You like, farted when you died, so I took you off the wall.
Your the guts shitter. Your guts smelled
no,
too
don't
bad.
Call me shitter. being remembered as the shitter by a serial killer who killed you. Truly a fate worse than just dying.
When you get like a really gross shrimp vein, you were like that. And like, oh man, that's just embarrassing.
No. Also, like, oh man. Yeah, we give serial killers nicknames and stuff, and it turns out you're the first time we gave a victim a nickname. We're calling you the Diarrhea Dyer.
I told all my serial killer friends about you. Sorry, they're blowing you up in the group chat.
Jane Doodoo. It's really immature. I'm sorry, but it caught on in the station, you know. I feel bad.
Old J-Dom.
It's important
it's
to smile
funny.
In this line of work.
Yeah. Can get real stressful.
So yeah, he walks into the room, drops his bleach on the ground, which like, to be clear, this is like a room like fully postured in viscera at this point. Like it's like the bed is red now. It's a red bed now. The entire thing. We're gonna need more than one little thing of bleach, bud. We're gonna need some quick lime as a start.
I'm not even sure what the bleach is for at that point, because like the lady's laying there on the bed with like her organs out. So like, where does the bleach like start? Where does the bleach factor into this equation? Do you just dump it on the lady? Because like, this is a carpeted room, bleach isn't gonna like do much. So like, do we dump it on the lady and her organs? Is that what? Also, the lady, do you guys remember what happens to her? Does she just kind of yell and then she's like, never mind, I'm done yelling? Okay.
No, that is
she pops up, does the big grab at Rita, and is like, whoa, 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 and then Rita just kind of like, I think it's like either
she tries to stop the bleeding. I know she tries to stop the bleeding. She puts like pressure on the wound. And then the lady like looks behind her like, oh no, because her dad's coming into the room. And then like that's the last we see of that lady. I don't know if the implication is that like she died for real or like she was like, you know what? This is between you guys.
I felt like she died for real because I think they're trying to rip off the sloth thing in 7 when, you know, like it's really freaky because like you think the guy's dead and then he pops up for like a scare. And that means something in that movie because of the thing, the way he did it. But here it's just like, I got a cheap jump scare out of it. That's my interpretation. But, you know.
It's like not even a jump scare. Right.
They just forget her, though. You're like 100% right. Like, I didn't even parse that. But yeah, Donna's like, I'm going to save you. Stop bleeding. And then she's like, oh, no, the killer man. And then, yeah, right afterwards, they just forget she's yeah, this is between you two. I don't want to interrupt.
I don't want to be rude.
Take your time. It's fine. I can wait. Yeah, I can wait.
I want to end up on the wall. I don't want to do anything that leads to me not ending up on the wall.
Interrupting. Hey, can you help me with that stopping bleeding? Oh, that's not wall material.
For sure.
Me, like, glaring at her as I take one of her 7 photos off of the wall like it's a warning shot.
Yeah, right. This is technically my daughter's fault, so maybe we'll put an extra one of you on the wall, you know. I'm sorry about this.
Yeah, sorry for this inconvenience. I'm sure this is really awkward. I'll put an extra photo of you on the wall for future reference.
I brought the bleach out of order. Where's my head even? Man, this is embarrassing.
Long week. It was that half a glass of wine that we both chugged like 25 seconds ago before I stabbed you to death or whatever.
Yeah.
So they have this exchange, and then this is where Rita decides, I'm going to become the person who figures out why people do serial killings and convince them to stop by saying to her father, no, I can help. I'm a psychologist. We can do this. We can get you back to normal. We can fix you. And then he goes, yeah, that's cool. And then stabs himself in the neck. Like, just immediately, like, grabs a knife. Like, she's like, it's cool. I can talk at you enough that you'll stop being evil. And he just kind of rolls his eyes. He's like, she doesn't get it.
I want to say that they ripped this off. Well, actually, you know what? Never mind. They didn't rip it off. They already did this once this season. This, like, misdirection of, like, oh, no, you think the guy with the weapon is going to kill the lady, but it actually is that he's going to kill himself. We already did this with Brooke like 2 episodes ago. That was what happened at Brooke's wedding. I don't know why we're doing the same setup 2 episodes later. This is the exact same misdirection setup. They thought that shit kicked ass, I guess. At the very end of this episode, they're going to do the exact same sequence of scenes they did from season 1. So I guess this episode was just like, we got some leftovers, I think. We could just reheat those.
But, like, also, did we really need, like her backstory? You know what I mean? Like, it's already, like, just, okay, I'm studying serial killers, and I'm, like, one of those horrible scientist people. Like, that's all we needed. I didn't need, like, but what's your motivation? You know? Like, I hate when they do that, and they won't stop doing it ever.
Also, her motivation now makes, like, her, like, character make no sense, because, like, when we see her backstory, quote unquote, and, like, find out about her, she's like, yeah, I'm this, like, celebrated psychiatrist who gets to go talk to every single serial killer that's ever existed and, like, trick them into doing more confessions. And I'm like, you'd think that at all these high security, like, prisons and asylums, someone would maybe run a background check and be like, that lady for sure has, like, a vested interest in doing this. We maybe shouldn't let her talk to Ted Bundy or anyone for that matter. But I don't remember the other 4 people she said she talked to except for Ted Bundy. That seems, like, strange now.
I'm sure they'll all make cameos in the season, so we'll have a shot to remember them anyway.
Thank God. Because, like, the thing is, like, if he's been doing it for forever, chances are he probably even has, like, a serial killer name. So, because he's been doing it for 50 years or whatever. So he's probably got, like, a reputation.
Idiot.
Yeah, the photo man, the photographer.
Mr. Forgetful.
So, like, there's no way that after he killed himself and, like, I'm assuming Donna went to the police, that, like, it wasn't made known, like, oh, yeah, this is the guy who's done those 500 murders over the last 50 years or whatever. So, like, there's no way she didn't, like, change her name or anything. Like, Dee Dee was just, like, a nickname for Donna, but, like, when we see her name tag thing in the flashback, like, that's still just her name. So she didn't change it. So you'd think that maybe that would raise a few red flags to the facilities and governmental organizations who are housing these convicted serial killers of, like, you know what? That lady's the daughter of whatever the fuck his name was, Beepo, the strangler, or whatever. Maybe we don't let her talk to these people.
Oh, the daughter of Mr. Sloppy.
Yeah.
We can't let her do stuff.
The collage killer.
Like, well, here's hoping you're better than your dad at work. So.
True. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, but we all, I know, were like jonesing for some backstory about fake Rita. But fake Rita in the backstory we already got for her, like, she gives like a whole spiel to Mr. Mm-hmm. Jingles and to the other people at the facility about how like she's like gonna make them not do serial killings again.
That right?
But, like, if her dad's been doing it for his whole life, then even her end goal wouldn't have stopped her dad from doing what he did. Like,
that's
her
goal
doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. Like, it's like, it doesn't, we didn't need it. It's just not helpful. Like, we have her motivation, as stupid as it is. So it's like, well, you want to know why she has that motivation? You know, I don't actually want to know that. And it's a little insulting, American Horror Story, that you thought I did, frankly. But
also, like, it doesn't, like, change anything. Like, I'm not like, oh, okay, now I get it. Like, it's still stupid. Right. What she's doing is still stupid. So, like, I don't, like, understand why she's doing it more. I'm like, yeah, no, her plan is still dumb. Her plan to, like, send Mr. Jingles out on, like, an errand to kill people so she can, quote-unquote, tell why he does it. Spoiler alert, well, it's retroactive, whatever the opposite of a spoiler alert is. Retroactive spoiler alert. She said that, like, she knows, and also... Also, he's going to have very similar words for her later in the actual episode as what they had when they were doing their, like, weird interrogation thing. Like, I don't think there is anything that they could have shown additionally to what they already showed of her going and, like, shopping for Mr. Jingles, being like, well, who's your biggest serial killer? I'd like to free him from prison. Like, there's nothing else they could have added to that that would make me be like, oh, okay, now it makes sense. Because it just doesn't. It's not, what she does doesn't make sense. So it doesn't do anything. And it takes like 10 minutes of the episode. I know, mm-hmm. because right after this, the opening sequence plays. And I thought, that's, we're like pretty, okay. I looked at this, I'll be so real. I looked at this out of dread. Because when I realized that the opening sequence was playing, I was like, damn, I thought I had been watching a lot longer than this. Like, oh no, that means I have so much episode left. But then I pulled up like the timestamp, and this is like 12 minutes into the episode. There's like 12 minutes of intro before the actual open credit sequence plays, which was like, you know, I guess silver lining. I didn't have as much episode left as I thought I did. But at the same time, like, this is a lot, and also it doesn't mean anything. I did also have, this is where I had the thought, like, 5 or 10 minutes into this episode after the opening sequence played, I had the thought of, like, this is, and I don't mean this in a good way, I mean this in, like, a derogatory way, this is an episode that feels like it is truly, like, the second half of the last episode, which you might be thinking, like, oh, well, like, that's how TV works, Liz. Like, of course, the next episode in a TV series is supposed to be a continuation. But no, like, so little happens, like, plot-wise, that moves from, like, the end of the last episode to the end of this episode, that I'd probably say there's only, like, in, like, show time, maybe 20 minutes passes between the end of the last episode and the mm-hmm. end of this episode. Well, actually, I take it back. In the middle of this episode, there's a weird time jump for something very funny. that is, I would, if I'm being generous, hopefully at least 5 to 10 minutes off screen, hopefully, but I guess that's up to you to decide.
Right. Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. The sex. Yeah, the sex.
You'd hope it was more than like 5 minutes. It'd be really, really awkward if it wasn't. But I'm being generous to the people participating.
Oh, imagine if you were a ghost and you came fast.
Yeah.
Man. Tough life. I guess not life. Tough death.
Is it like, do you think it's like one begets the other, where like you didn't have that problem until you became a ghost, or like that was just something that came with you, no pun intended, like when you became a ghost?
I think it just follows you along. I mean, so, we don't know how ghost rules are these days. Maybe this is the camp that makes you nut fast.
And not to get ahead of ourselves. So later, much toward the end, we're not going to cover it, but toward the end of the episode, a ghost gets its blood pressure taken and nothing shows up, which got me thinking, like, I guess the heart's not beating, so there's no fluids and everything. But now with this discussion, I'm like marrying it to like, so the ball's still going? Is there a ghost nut? Is that a thing?
The problem with vampires also, if you start thinking about it, is like, how do vampires get a boner? Looking at you, Stephanie Meyer.
How do they get hard?
Yeah. Also, I would like to add one more thing, because like, in case it's not obvious, we're talking about Ray, who we know died a few episodes ago by being beheaded by Mr. Jingles. I would like to remind everybody, both in this podcast and listening to this podcast in the future, that we've seen via Jonah that ghosts like retain injury after they die, which leads me to ask, why does Ray have a head?
That's a good point.
Anyway.
I don't know what to tell you.
Anyway, we have to still get there, I guess. We have to do something terrible first, though, which is check in with Richard Ramirez.
So we cut back from Rita's flashback to the present, finger quotes. She's talking to Richard Ramirez, who just kind of walks up to Donna and goes, "Hey, by the way, I can resurrect myself pretty cool, huh? What do you make of that?" And she's like, he's like, "Oh, Satan thinks I'm pretty cool," which, no, he doesn't. He didn't say that. I talked to Satan. He doesn't think you're cool.
No.
I actually checked. He doesn't.
He keeps bringing you back because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah, he thinks it's funny to watch you get hit in the head with an oar by a slight woman. does the whole like, "Yeah, I can revive, it's pretty cool." Then he mentions, "Oh yeah, by the way, Satan told me all about your flashback. I was also watching your flashback." That wasn't just for the audience. I was also the audience this time.
Great.
Like, I'm not kidding, by the way. He literally points at his head and goes, "Satan showed me that flashback too."
It's so stupid. Because now it's not even just Richard Ramirez gets like a get out of jail free card for Satan. It's like, also I've got powers, which like, just get the fuck out of here. You know, like, enough. It's, you know, I can't kill this one woman at a camp, but I can see your past suddenly.
Also, does that mean that like Satan can like read people's memories, or does like he give other people the ability to read memories? Is Satan like the Phoenix Force from the X-Men? Like, what's happening? Like, what's the implication here? Because it's kind of is it mind reading? Is seeing someone else's flashback mind reading? It would have to be. Well, no, because it's looking at your memories. Is looking at someone's memories the same thing as mind reading?
I mean,
but
I guess
like on a different time scale.
Yeah, I guess it's.
I guess it's not like active mind reading. It's like watching a VOD versus a live stream. You know what I mean? Like, that's that kind of mind reading.
Referring to my memories as VODs from this point forward.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I accidentally deleted that VOD when I hit my head. This sucks. No,
it's as clear as source to me. You know, yeah, but...
Chat, should I still remember all of my VODs? I say to my therapist as they write down the word concerning.
VOD? Question mark, question mark, question mark?
He keeps calling me Chad, I think. I don't know why.
I was going to say chat? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Subject keeps referring to a invisible audience they call chat? Question mark?
Does he know verbs and nouns? Does he know that we're chat? But...
He's asking if he's cooked. What does this mean?
He keeps saying that I'm based. Question.
Oh, man. So, and then after Richard Ramirez, he's like, "Actually, you can't turn good. You're evil, and evil is guaranteed. If your parents are evil, you're evil. That's how it works. I don't make the rules." And she goes, "That's stupid. You're stupid." And he goes, "Well, I'm going to summon the ghost of your dad." And she goes, "Why can you do that?" He goes, "I don't know."
Well, like, I had to think about it because I was, because he does that. He's like, here, listen to this fella. And I'm like, it's her dad. But like, he's saying shit that like directly goes against what his character was saying in the flashback. Because he's like, oh, you're going to be nasty and you should just like be nasty. It's cool if you're nasty, actually. It's really fun to be nasty. And I'm like, you killed yourself because you were like ashamed of being nasty. So like, mm-hmm. that's, so I'm like, I think the implication here is like, oh, you know, sometimes Satan makes you hallucinate to tempt you to like what he did in, to Jesus in the desert or whatever in the Bible, to like tempt you into doing bad stuff. But I'm like, this doesn't even have like a payoff. Like,
no,
this doesn't even go anywhere. She doesn't even get like Mangekyo Sharingan tricked into like being a killer after this. She just gets sad about it and like sad about her
dad.
She
feels bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes like I feel like I'm being lazy when I'm just like, I bet they just didn't put any thought into it and just did it. But then I remember, no, it's them being lazy because I'm probably right. You know, it just feels like it's something where it's like, we didn't, you know, we didn't, I bet I know what happened actually. I bet they filmed this and then they're like, you know what though? We should probably introduce the dad somehow. And then they write, there were scenes like way later and then edit them together and don't bother fixing the plot problem that they introduced. That's my theory for what happened.
Well, but, I mean, like, it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying earlier of, like, the bedroom murder scene feels like three separate versions of the same thing. I think they did this one time in Hotel also. I think it was the specifically the episode where the they like, find the two people with, the like, the penis super glued in the vagina. Well, mm-hmm. That thing. They do the same thing where, like, the way that they talk about the situation seems like three different versions of the story was told or something.
Need I remind you of Cult with, like, Kai's 20 origin stories that don't fit with each other or anything? But...
Yeah. This is weird. Like, the more I realize it, the more I realize this specific, like, episode has so much of, like, we already did this in either a previous season or this season already. We're just winging it. It's almost like all of the writers, like, called in sick. And so the rest of the staff that aren't the writers were like, I think I remember them saying, like, this happens, but it's actually just something that happened in, like, another episode.
And by the way, I don't know if you point, if I'm, I'm reading this from one of your notes, but I don't know if you're exactly pointing the same thing out. But doesn't Mr. Jingle, like what we learned last episode, also contradict this? Because Mr. Jingles isn't evil, but is tricked into being evil and killing people by Margaret.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it also goes back to what I was saying about, like, now her motivation is the opposite of, like, what we've seen. Because, like, she says specifically her motivation is that she never wants there to be another serial killer again. And she doesn't believe people are born evil. And she says that to Mr. Jingle. She's like, I don't think you're evil. I think that you're, like, a product of high fructose corn syrup or whatever, or porn. And he's like, cool, I'm willing to help you with that theory. And I'm like, but so... The having his ghost show up and be like, actually, you are nasty from birth, but like, she's not. So we're constantly flip back and forth between which one the show wants to be like the implication. Cause you'd think from these interactions, we also are supposed to glean, like, oh, okay, so like in this universe, we are accepting that if you are the child of a serial killer, you are also going to be a serial killer. You inherit it, even though that's not a thing that happens in real life.
But
that doesn't happen.
And also, it just doesn't work. Yeah. Right. And it doesn't work with the characters in this context. Because, Mr. Jingles was never a killer and he was tricked into being one, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, her whole premise from the word go is just kind of out the window. Also, if Richard Ramirez brought out a dad hallucination to be like, hey, that thing you're studying, it's actually wrong. Fuck you. You'd think she would have some resolve to be like, hey, man, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, this, if your entire life's work is like, I'm going to figure out what was wrong with my fucking dad so that I can keep it from happening to other people. Having your dad show up and be like, actually, you're evil too. I'd be like, I know what you did. Why would I listen to you?
Right.
I'd be like, why the fuck would I take advice from you? I walked in, you stabbed yourself in the neck. I'm listening to anyone but you, man.
In fact, I wouldn't have done this if not for you, dummy. So it's not even like I was intrinsically evil. You caused it.
like, that's the thing is, like, this would have made sense, again, going back to the, it feels like there's something missing, like, scenes were missing from a different version of this episode. Like, it seems like there were scenes we missed where, like, Rita was grappling with, like, uh-oh, I think I might want to do a murder, but no, I'm not going to give in to my dad's, like, theory that I was going to also be a murderer, too, because of him being a murderer. But, like, that's not her character, and she has no motivation, so... realistically, her dad ghost would be like, you're going to be evil too. And then she would respond with, no, I don't really want to kill people. So that's not like, that's not really an issue. That's not why we're
thing.
Here.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not really why I'm here.
And then, so, and then Richard Ramirez does a very cool and sensible thing of sliding in and being like, oh yeah, by the way, Mr. Jingles only killed because you let him out, so basically you killed those people. Which, I get he's trying to say, like, and this proves that you're intrinsically evil, except that doesn't work because Mr. Jingles, like, did kill people afterward.
Right,
like, he
didn't
do that, you know? And like, yeah, yeah. It doesn't work in any step of the way. It's almost like people are very complicated and trying to reduce them to genetics is a fool's errand at best.
Well,
and
not,
you know.
Not to harp on it, but you know what, too? These aren't people. These are characters that these people wrote in their scripts that are directly contradicting things like that are in their own script. Like, even if you take that out of the equation, it still sucks, you know? Like, it's like all these characters are really one-dimensional, actually, and they still fuck it up. But anyhow.
Yeah, it's also, like, not, like, a gotcha, because, like, they have, like, Richard Ramirez be like, oh, you actually are evil because you made, you set Mr. Jingles free, and he did, like, a bunch of killing, so that's your fault, you did it. And I'm like, but, like, she was cool with that already. Like, why is her character, like, mad about it now? Like, she knew. She literally gave a little speech about, like, gotta crack a few rabbits open to get some lipstick or whatever. Like, she's already, like, made peace with the fact that, like, she was gonna do murders. Like... she's a little, that's not like a gotcha, Richard Ramirez. Like, she knew what she was signing up for. She wasn't under, like, some grand delusion that this was like, oh, it's fine, he's not gonna kill real people, he's just killing not teenagers, 20-year-olds, I allegedly. Yeah, no, it's such a weird interaction. Fortunately, this conversation is done and we can move on towards the funnier parts of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like the exploded car, which is still burning. And we have just since the last episode and now, which could not be more than 5 minutes in universe, decided that Xavier has, like, the moon sickness or something. Like, he's got, like, the moon madness or something. And he has just fully lost his mind in a very bizarre way. Not like, he is later going to be like, oh, I'm never going to be beautiful again. But, like, right now he's like, we have to burn down the whole forest. Everyone help me set the whole forest on fire. And I'm like, hey.
As a signal.
Yeah, as a signal. I'm like, how about, I'm just floating this as an idea. Feel free to shut me down. Margaret, how about you turn the power back on? And then we can just make a phone call. How about that? How about you just turn the power you turned off? How about you turn it back on? Because it wasn't Jingles who cut the power. It was Margaret who turned it off. So how about we just ask Margaret to go turn the power back on? Like, that seems like step one. Step two, maybe, walk towards the highway. Again, just spitballing, but, like, walk towards the road.
I also, you know, I get that Xavier is, like, kind of nuts now, but I also feel like someone could just point out, like, I think the car burning's enough of a signal to people. Like, we don't need to do the whole ass forest, you know? But
also, they're
going to
be so mad at us, Xavier. If we burn the forest down, they're going to be so mad at us. We're in, like, a state park.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, for some reason, they decided that, like, oh, Xavier has taken too much fire damage and survived, so now he's got the fire elemental madness. Yeah, it's like, he's like, I'm going to burn the whole place down. And they're like, dude, relax. Don't do that. He's like, I've seen God's fire in that oven. I know better. And it's like, all right, man, whatever. What's your fucking deal?
Post-traumatic obsession disorder, where I actually love the thing that I was fucked up by. This is beautiful.
I'm into fire now. Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, Jingles.
Stockholm Syndrome. Thank you.
Richard Ramirez is here to say pyro is intrinsic to you. Well, bye.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and, like, they're not going to make an effort to, like, explain why he's like this. Because, again, like, 5 minutes ago in the TV show, like in-universe, he was fine. At the end of our last episode, he was, like, burnt up, and he was, like, sad. But he was fine. Like, he was, like, pretty chill. Yeah, he was, like hurt physically.
Having burns all over your skin is, like, really fucking painful, and if untreated can lead to, like, serious complications. But, yeah, he was mostly just able to get up and run around just, like, going, like, ow, ow, fuck, the whole time, you know?
Yeah, but now he's got the madness to him. And, like, this isn't, like, going to be an isolated incident. This is going to be, like, him for the rest of the episode, which at the very end will have a very funny payoff. But right now it's just very confusing and strange because he gets, like, super, super wound up about it. And he's like, no, I'm gonna start the fire and you can't stop me. Like, we all have to be cleansed by the holy fire of God or whatever. And then Margaret pistol whips him and is like, go to sleep. And he does, to, like, chill him out, because he's scaring the hose, frankly.
Yeah, because here's the thing about burning a forest. You're in the forest.
Yeah.
That's, like, step one is don't burn down a forest that you're currently inside of. I mean, that's probably, like, a metaphor for a lot of things, but it's quite literal here.
Yeah.
Don't burn a forest out if you're in the forest.
It's like, yeah, don't burn down the glass house. Yeah, exactly. The more extreme version.
Yeah, burn the forest for the trees. Yeah, yeah. We all know these expressions.
Yeah, guys in the glass houses shouldn't eat grenades or whatever. Yeah. You got it.
Don't throw stones. No, let's start with step one. Don't burn down the house you're in. We need to start you off a little easier.
So after that, Margaret knocks him out, and then we cut to cabin at night, and it is the whole team is here at this point, I think, because we've got. Brooke, Montana are definitely here because the exchange that takes place. Right. And then it's Margaret and Chet, who are the other ones here.
Yeah.
Margaret essentially. Oh, right. And Xavier, who's unconscious. Margaret essentially is like, hey, I don't have any bullets left. You mentioned dry firing it indoors, pretty irresponsible. If I just saw someone randomly pull a trigger, apropos of nothing, I'd worry a little, even if the gun was unloaded. Like, right. Don't do that. That's not a good practice to get into doing.
It's one of those things where it's like, I didn't think that you were being suspicious, or I didn't think that you were lying about not having bullets, but, like, now I do.
Yeah,
now,
like,
I,
why
do
you
think
need
you're
to?
You're lying.
Who's going to say, yo, I'll try firing it? You know, like, it doesn't.
Yeah, I would have believed you. I have no reason to not believe you that there's no bullets left. Like, what do I think you're doing? Hiding them in your cheeks or something? Like, strange. Very strange.
So Margaret then says, like, oh, hey, by the way, we can row across the lake. I saw a couple of campers on the other side of the lake. And he's like, oh, they'll have a cell phone and we'll be able to call them and get help. And I'm like, assuming someone has a cell phone who's camping in the 80s is fucking wild. That's wild. Like, that's when cell phones were still, like, largely car phones. You
yeah.
know?
And they're like,
remember
bricks.
Earlier someone pulled out a fucking brick?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you were fucking rich. If you had
more
one.
Of a military radio. Yeah.
Yeah. Like another character, like, in a few seconds is going to be like, oh, they might even have a car. I'm like, they're fucking camping. I sure hope they do. Like, do you think they just walked into the woods? Like, we're camping now. I'm like, that's not camping. That's being lost. Like, I hope they have a car. Like, I hope they drove there.
We're really camping in the sense that we live here in the woods off grid. Like, you know. Yeah.
We've been, air quotes, camping for the last 6 years. Please let our families know where we are. Send out a signal. Set the forest on fire so that they can find us. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. But they had to have Margaret do that, or at least like mention it, because otherwise you run into what I just said, which is there any reason we can't just like walk to the road? Because in a second they're going to be like, well, we can't walk to the road because there's traps in the woods. And I'm like, then don't go in the woods. Like, stay on the road. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. Just stay on the road and walk on the road. There's like 5 of you, 6 of you. Like, just stay on the road. Worst case scenario, I'm assuming the thing that they're afraid of has to be Mr. Jingles, because Richard Ramirez got his head impaled on a spike to them. So like, it can't be that they're afraid of him. So I have to imagine the thing they are afraid of is specifically Mr. Jingles, who at best, like worst case scenario, is still gravely injured, is just a man who is gravely, gravely injured.
Yeah.
So like, not really that threatening. I'll be honest. It's just a guy.
Xavier can even be like, yeah, I ran into him. He let me go. Maybe he's full of killing. Maybe he's bored now. So, you know. But he's unconscious though, so we can't tell them that yet. But still, so
they decide, hey, let's get somebody over to that other side of the lake. I need someone to come with me though, but only one of you. And they go, wow. That's weirdly specific. Chet, you should take Chet.
Which you absolutely shouldn't, too. He's hurt. Like, it doesn't make sense to bring Chet. He can't help Ro or anything.
Please stop moving the injured so much. It's not good for them. We try. It's called traction. We put people on board so they don't move when they're hurt. It's like, please stop moving the hurt man. He has a hole in his chest. It went through his body.
He's fine. He got some adrenaline put directly into his chest, and then he took a little nap afterwards, which seems hard to do. Seems hard to take a little nap after you get adrenaline directly into your bloodstream. He woke up and was fine.
It probably hurts a lot to be impaled, even if you survive, whatever. But, yeah, who knows, I guess. Yeah, so, yeah, Montana volunteers, like, Chet'll go, whatever. And then they leave, and then Brooke and Montana like decide like, okay, well, let's let Xavier sleep off this being hit in the head thing. And at least like Brooke brings up like, I think you're not supposed to do that with a concussion, but whatever. And then Brooke's like, you know, it's kind of weird that Margaret never mentioned the campers. Montana's like, well, she's stupid, or she offers like some dumb excuse like that. And then it's like, okay, I guess so, you know.
I mean, she's right, for what it's worth. Yeah. If the retort was, well, Margaret is pretty stupid, then I'd have to, if I was Brooke, I'd have to be like, yeah, you're right, I guess.
Yeah, and then Brooke, Montana then is like, sees like a little axe kind of under one of the beds, and she realizes she's alone with Brooke and an unconscious Xavier. So I guess now she's like, well, I guess Richard Ramirez isn't doing the job. So she takes the axe and she's like kind of walking up, and then Brooke's like, wait, who's that outside? And she sees like Ray outside. She's like, it's Ray, I gotta go get him, you know. And then she sees Montana holding the axe. She's like, yeah, good idea, you hold on to that. And Montana just like lets her go. Because, like, you could, you know, I guess that's maybe a little surprising or something, but Montana's still been, wait, Brooke, wait one second, whack, you know what I mean, and then done it, but that was...
And I think Montana even mentions, like, she's like, well, it can't be Ray, Ray's dead, which, Montana doesn't know that.
Right.
Montana doesn't fucking know that. The only person who knows that is Mr. Jingles, because he was explicitly standing at the entrance with an axe and beheaded him as he was leaving on a motorbike, building distance from everybody quickly. The only other person I'm willing to give a pass on this information is Richard Ramirez, because Satan told him.
Right, right,
that's
right.
That's the only one. Everyone else... You don't know that shit. Why do you know that shit?
You know who really doesn't fucking know it is Brooke, and it's going to be like a real problem in just like a few minutes. It's going to be like a real problem.
Of all the people who need to know it is Brooke. Yeah, absolutely. But and then like, so Xavier starts talking in his sleep, and he's like, no, Birdie, don't make me do it. If you recall, is referring to when he had to mercy kill Birdie in the slowest, most painful, torturous way possible by slowly pushing a knife into her. But then he kind of like wakes up, you know, and Montana like tells him, okay, here's what happened. Shit, Margaret. And then, and she's like, and Brooke went out to, she saw Ray, and he's like, Ray? And then they cut, and I think that's supposed to signal to the whole, like, but Ray should be dead. But as we pointed out, nobody can know that, so who the hell knows, you know?
The worst case scenario, if that's not what we're supposed to take away from this, then at the very least, Xavier knows that Ray, like, sold out Chet, basically, like, left Chet to die and, like, did a murder before he came here. So, like, you'd think that Xavier, at the bare minimum, would follow up with, but we can't let Brooke be alone with Ray because he's a super shitty person who's already done one murder and
actually,
I don't trust him.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, yeah, you know. Actually, yeah, because even, Xavier could be like, Ray, the guy who left Chet to die? Like, maybe not, you know.
Or someone should check on her.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, but, you know.
Yeah. And then our next scene is where we get to enjoy Ray. And I think we can get partway into this.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So Brooke finds Ray, and Ray's like, I don't remember what happened. And she's like, you left on a bike to go get health? And he's like, I don't remember that. I just know I'm here now. I had to do a walk, I guess. And then Brooke's just like, whatever, good enough. You hit your head, sure, whatever. You're stupid. Everyone's a little stupid today. And then they hear keys, and like the Pavlov dogs they are, they sprint away because they've heard keys, which are the signal of a guy who's been shot 9 to 12 times.
And stabbed.
And stabbed, yeah, good point. And slashed up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's fucked up, but...
So they run to cover. We then cut to Margaret, who is rowing out in the middle of a lake. And Chet is there not rowing because he has a hole in his chest. Why did we agree to send Chet? And Chet just kind of is like, hey, I didn't think I saw anybody over there. Like, where do you think it is? And Margaret's just like, hey, do you think about death a lot? And he's like, not really, I guess, like maybe a little. And she's like, well, you should, because you know, if you believe in God, you'll go to heaven, and otherwise I think you'll be in trouble. And he's like, I'm good, thank you though. I'm okay, thank you though. And she pushes, she's like, well, you want to confess something? I'm sure you've got something to confess. And he's like, No, not really. And she's like, I've got a confession for you. There are no campers on the other side of the lake. And he's like, huh? And she's like, I'm going to kill you with an oar. And then she does do that. She hits him with an oar. He gets knocked out. She starts removing his ear. And then he starts hooting and hollering and struggling to find out that she has done that one QTE death in Resident Evil 4 and, like, tied an anchor to his leg and is kicking it off the boat so that it, like, slowly unfurls the rope so that we have a lot of time for Chet to go, wait, no, wait, before he gets yoinked off the boat.
I think this happens, I could be totally misremembering. I think something like this happens in one of the Friday the 13th, the one that takes place, I'm not joking, on a cruise ship or a yacht or whatever.
Don't they do it to Jason in the end of one of them to like get him to like sink in?
Yes.
Yeah, in Crystal Lake. Yeah, toward the end. But then,
I was
going to
say, I know for a fact I've seen this in like a horror movie TM that's like very popular and famous. I just couldn't remember if it was a Jason did it to someone or if someone did it to him.
Right.
People are pretty afraid of drowning. So like it's a pretty classic move, right? Of like, what if I tied something really heavy to you and threw you in a lake? Like, oh, don't do that. No.
I would hate that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Nice.
I need to be above the water. Fuck. So she does it. And then she cuts his ear off. And, I don't know why Margaret has decided, actually, I'm into this. Like, there's a couple character turns of this, of Rita earlier being like, no, I'm not into this. And it's like, but you were. you were so into this. And then now we have the opposite, where Margaret was like, I just killed people because they bullied me, and I was disappointed that Mr. Jingles didn't kill them fast enough. Like, it was clearly, like, a motivated thing. But now, I just get a little wet for it is all. I just like killing folks. Like,
yeah, I'm willing to so throw strange. Away all these perfect witnesses who all fully believe that I was a victim and that I have done nothing wrong. I'm willing to just kill them for the love of the game, even though I have never done that before and that's not really like part of my thing. Like, yeah, I'm willing to throw away these, how many, 6, 7 perfectly good alibis in order to... later in this episode, make up some complete bullshit that nobody would believe ever in 20,000 years. I'd rather do this, like, elaborate hoax, question mark, than just take, you know, 5 to 7 yeah. eyewitness accounts that I'm innocent.
Yeah. Also, please keep in mind all of the ways that violence has happened over the course of this, and remember that some of them are constructed a Punji pit.
Set up an Ewok trap, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they're going to pin the blame on someone, a spoiler, I guess, and I just want you to keep in mind that they're like, wait, that person? That person set up a Punji pit and stabbed everybody, and... picked up someone and put their head on a tree as though it were a spike. That guy, you're telling me that person, that character, put an oar on the ground and then jammed a person on it so fucking hard that it went through them.
Yep.
That character did that. And also the cops are all just like, okay.
Yeah, also put up traps that, like, you'd probably need some kind of heavy machinery to, like, right. manage.
Oh, and yeah, so that'll do it for this episode. Next time, look forward to ghost sex and no one being normal about. I mean, how can you be normal? Is there a normal? Is there a default?
I would be cool about it. I'm just saying. I would be way cooler about it than what happened.
Yeah.
I would just put that out there.
My initial response would be like, huh, don't see that every day. Like, at worst.
I'd be like, so did that count? Does it count? Or can I count this one as a freebie? Yeah. Like,
is this part of the, is this a body count if you're a ghost? I don't know. But,
Oh, man. Yeah, looking forward to a ghost saying, I popped your cherry, and then the character looking back and being like, you know, I don't know if you did.
Have you done this before? I'm not sure. Does the ghost...
With
does
a ghost count?
What?
Not.
Never mind. Let's just say hand job and call it a day.
Well, till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening. Look forward to that next time. Peace.
Yep, later.